I love it.
So here we are, live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for broadcasting us. Thank you to the sponsor. Thanks to all of you guys listening to this show and making it like a one big oneness, working for the better of all. We had more people join in, and I welcome you all, and please say your name and location.
Good morning, Rexel. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good morning, Don. Welcome to the call.
Morning, Don.
Are we on the air yet?
Yes, we are. Good morning, Win and Terry.
Good morning.
Hi, Win and Terry.
Good morning, BBS.
Good morning, Don.
Morning.
Do we have Carla here yet?
Carla is not here yet. No, thank you for mentioning. There's a gentleman on the line over here with us, Tamor from Florida, and he mentioned, he wanted you to know, Wynn, that Phyllis Lamour, she has passed away.
Phyllis Lamour, not Lamour. Phyllis Lamour.
Phyllis Lamour.
Yeah, she passed away a couple of months ago.
Thank you, the channel.
And she was a friend that she actually told me that the materials in Star Trek were taken from her channeling. She has a lot of channeling
right.
things that were never published.
I know that Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, he was a friend of
hers. Was a friend of hers.
Yeah.
Is Dharmananda here?
Negative. No.
No. Okay. All right.
Well, thank you for being here, Win and Terry. I hope you guys are doing good. And it's Don is running the show for BBS this morning, and he has a live on the internet. We had another caller here just joined in. I welcome you, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Michael Camino, California.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Michael.
Thank you.
All
right.
Okay, let's get started.
So are you expecting Carla in?
Well, I just called her. She said she was going to be on.
Okay, great.
So, let's see here. I'm going to mute everybody.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning. This is September 15th, 2013. And Wynn and Terry in Arizona. And let's see, is Carla there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, we've been looking for you.
Here I am.
And I'm going to start out with a song today. And it's whenever I play this song, I think of Carla. Okay? I think I'm going to make sure I got it ready. Is my voice clear today?
Yes.
I'm
not breathing
you have a hum coming over it with your voice, but you sound clear. But are you sure your charger is unplugged?
Let me see.
Hi,
let me see something. If you're you see, guys, I can't win because the charger's plugged in. I get home, hum.
Get all.
If the charger's not plugged in, and I happen to run out of juice, I run out of juice. And somebody has mentioned to me. They said, "How come you have so much trouble with the phone every day?" But we're getting better, actually. Now, I have this song I was going to play. It's always something. And now it doesn't show up in my list. How can that be? I looked at it this morning, and there it was. Maybe I went out. Maybe I dreamed it, that it was here, that I was supposed to play this song. I'm scrolling through here. Wanted to play the song from The Man of La Mancha, the Don Quixote song. Dream the Impossible Dream, which happens to be Carla's logo. Now, believe it or not, 20 minutes ago, I looked at this list of songs, and I said, that's what I'm going to play today. Now, either my mind is blanking it out as I go through it again, because it was there, or I was dreaming it when I was looking at it, and it's not there.
Isn't it titled as a Reach Out, like the fifth song from the top?
No, it's not Reach Out. It's called Dream the Impossible Dream. All right, I'm going to play Reach Out, okay? Reach Out. Here we go. Before I play Impossible Dream, you know, I wanted to say that one of the people who attend our calls, and Gary Brownlee, who also helps immensely on sending out emails and keeping the website, the Spirit Channel, updated, was involved in a historic project. I don't know if Gary's listening. I hope he is. Because You know, on this call, one of the things that we endeavor to do, and we may be doing it, is being able to project our energies, project our fields outside of our bodies, outside of our homes, outside of our planet, and outside of the solar system. Now, of course, we're dealing in invisible things, so we have to watch things over a period of time to decide if we're actually doing that and what the manifestations of that are. There is a feeling that comes in. There's a sense that many of you feel and connect with on these calls. And I say, what's that? That's an unusual feeling. And then we have voices that talk to us that say they're outside of all of that, they're greater than all of that, they're larger than all of that, or I don't even know if you can use the word larger or smaller, because I can't figure out if they're probably both larger and smaller, because I don't think there's size where they are. But nonetheless, Gary Brownlee has now become one of those rare groups, one of those rare people on the planet who actually was involved in sending a physical object outside of the solar system. And he used to work for the Jet Propulsion Laboratories, and he was working on the Voyager, which I guess you wouldn't call it a satellite, but it's a space vehicle. And Voyager has just left the solar system, and it's the first object to ever leave the solar system. And thank you, Gary, for being part of that. Now, I wonder if that means if part of your hologram is out there with the Voyager, and that you was, I believe Gary's name is written somewhere in that vehicle. So in any case, I thought I would share that, and I found Dream, the Impossible Dream, and if those of you who have visited Carla's website will have noted that her logo is a pen and ink drawing of Don Quixote staring at windmills. And the story of Don Quixote is the story of a man with a wild-eyed dream. What was his dream, Carla?
I am trying to remember if there was anything more than just seeing things in a very idealistic way. For instance, seeing his girlfriend, who in real life was a sort of a rough girl, as an idealized lady that had never been anything but very delicate. And seeing things in their most beautiful and idealized form. I think he just wanted to right every wrong, to be a knight in shining armor, to really to be one, not just to be fancy, but really to be. And the way he saw things was idealized, to the point where everybody else said he was crazy. Actually, when that logo came to be the L&L Research logo, it was a little bit sideways because I had that over my desk in college. Wherever I was, before I was married, it was in my room at home, and after I was married, it was in my one room. I had exactly one room for my entire apartment, and it was. I took it with me. And then through 4 years of a difficult marriage and then onward into single life again, I had it in my apartment over my desk in the office. And Don said, well, tell me about that. And I did to the best of my ability, which was pretty much what I'm telling you. I've been so long since I read Don Quixote, I don't remember precisely. It's a long book. Anyway, he liked the idea of the impossible dream. He liked the idea of seeing things and hoping for things and wanting things that maybe even weren't there, but that we were trying. He liked the idea of something that was called Love and Light Research. We were originally the Love and Light Company and then shortened it to L&L. He liked the idea of that connected with dreaming the impossible dream. So we just, I did a search and discovered that since Picasso had put that out over 50-some years ago, that it was no longer under copyright. And it was an image anybody could use. And so I thought, groovy, we're going to use it. And so we have used it ever since. And it's come to be synonymous with L&L Research and Love and Light. But really, it's a work of some genius done by an artist that certainly had various portions of his history that were questionable, but that particular drawing was simply perfection. If you look, you hardly even see where that his ink, where his pen left the paper, and yet in very simple terms, he conveyed that whole myth, that whole folk song, folk story.
And I suppose the reason you identified with that is on some level you were dreaming the impossible dream. Yes?
I always knew I was dreaming impossible dreams. It never bothered me. In fact, I was rather proud of it. I thought, why be like everybody else and just be going after fame and glory and the next seat of the corporate, hoo-ha. I really liked the idea of my being idealistic and being more on a spiritual quest. And certainly Cody's quest was spiritualized.
Here we go. Dream the impossible dream.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go.
Come when I'm late to my rest.
I forget who that was singing. That wasn't the normal person.
It was a diva, but I don't recognize which one. Certainly a beautiful, beautiful rendition.
You know, first of all, I have to not say you know. I have to watch myself. But do not say that. Carla, just hit me on the head if I say you know. I think it's like my way of like, let me delay things till I think of something. Okay.
But it's a segue.
Segue.
Right. What into what I'm going to say next? Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of reiterating themes, and we refer back to them often. And one of the reasons we refer back to them is because some of these things are crucial, and it's hard to get it. It's hard to get through our monkey minds to where we can integrate something and make it work for us. And one of the themes is something that's called DNA activation, which has become somewhat of a buzzword amongst many New Age people. Now, I don't believe DNA activation was talked about in the raw material. Is that correct, Carla?
No, it never was. There was... you can't even say that there was anything remotely like it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever looked at that yourself or internalized it?
I think it's quite valid.
Yeah.
I think that insofar as we have so many strands of DNA that are not currently being used, that there's no question but that we have the capacity within us to get various strands of DNA that are not currently hooked up, so that we, and that would equal being able to work with vibrations that we are not currently able to work with. I think it's quite accurate.
Did you ever hear my explanation of how it works?
Go ahead. I don't think I...
Yeah. No, there's an I got no ums. No you knows. There we go. I'm going to say that. I'm going to hit myself. Okay. Well, when the universe was first created, and we had conversations, quite a few, with the Elohim about that, and they were creating a microcosm to match the macrocosm. And the microcosm was DNA. So DNA is like a mirror of the entire universe. And each strand of DNA, and there's 12 strands, each strand opens up a greater hologram into the universe. And the first 7 strands approximately correlate to the first 7 chakras. And the next 5 strands correlate to expanding outside of your body into the greater hologram of the universe, or however large that can be. And does that make sense? Do you follow that?
I do.
Yeah. So the way a strand gets activated, and this is the trick, because when people hear this, they say, well, how do I activate my strands? I want to be activated. And first of all, there is a handicap in this realm. And the handicap is that what we could call the negative understands this principle very well. And they have their higher strands activated, but without compassion, which essentially turns them into magicians, because they can control the universe to a certain degree to their own ends. And they have the idea of containing us, contracting us, and keeping us in the first three strands of DNA. So that's why the evolution of humanity has been so difficult, because there's an intentional programming in this realm to keep us contracted. And once you've taken of that programming, which everyone has for many lifetimes, probably, then you have a reality system that's based around that program, and that it's very difficult. Something has to come and break your reality system so that you open up to new possibilities. Because the way you evolve DNA, and this is one of those things that I said before, but when I say this, I know everyone's thinking, well, how do I do it? How do I get my DNA activated? And it's a very simple process. It's not simple necessarily to manifest, but it's simple to understand that since your DNA is opening to holograms that are larger and larger, depending on the strand that's activated, all you need to do is find someplace, someone, somewhere where that energy is activated at a higher hologram than you are, and let that energy flow through. Now, of course, this is not a one-shot deal. You can't just go and have that experience and everything shifts, because it's more like an awakening, a flowering, a seed growing. It's like you will always go back to your old patterns, always. And there's going to be this process of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, as that energy comes in. And so the best ways to do this on an ongoing basis are to actually live in a situation where that energy is activated in your living situation. And that would be a community, a very high-minded community, or a really evolved personal relationship. A personal relationship is probably one of the fastest ways, the fast track to do this, because in the energy exchange with another human, you have an opportunity to surface all your lower stuff, because people in relationships mirror each other. They're reflecting. And if you do it correctly, the reflections get higher and higher. You don't get stuck in a lower reflection. And if you do it at a lower level, you get stuck. And you're always blaming somebody or making the other person wrong. And it's like, of course, this is sticking yourself, because that person is potentially your ticket for your own evolution. And you're not manifesting it. You have to be able to switch the relationship. And one of the ways to switch a relationship is to love someone the way they need to be loved. Because once you do that, they'll start loving you back the way you need to be loved, and suddenly you're activating your fourth chakra. And of course, it's the love vibration that makes this work. And if you look throughout history, if you start taking things apart, you can see that, this is my opinion, that behind the people that were able to greatly influence this planet was the inherent, even if they may not have had these words, they may not have ever even heard the word DNA, but a very deep understanding of the process, whether they understood DNA or not. I mean, if you take Jesus as an example, good example, and certainly one Carla has used, you take Jesus, you have an example of a man who I believed had very high DNA activations, and that if you go large enough, you become one with whatever you're expanding into. And so if you're at the top of the scale, the Father and you are one, which is what Jesus said. And then he said, when two or more are gathered. So he was creating a precedent for community, that as people love each other, share love. Now, I don't mean mushy love. They learn how to activate themselves. That's the greatest value of a relationship, activating yourself and activating the other person, getting over all the mental stuff, getting over, like, what are we talking about stuff, having opinions, you know, gossiping, which is so often what things resort to. And then that energy starts to happen. And that's that experience when you walk into a room and you feel the vibe in a room, when you feel the energy in that room. And it's because the people that were in that space have learned to activate their higher chakras or their higher DNA. And they were holding it, and it anchored in the space. Now, they didn't do it by a technique. It's not with technique or rituals that this happens. It's intent that makes it occur. Consistent intent over time. And, you know, those of you that said, you know, there we go. Those of you that listened to the few talks we did called Rewriting the Old Testament heard the story of the Anunnaki, who were gold miners that landed on Earth and created humans. You didn't hear this. Don't believe it because it's too wild. But do your own research. It's in our archives. And actually, it's got serious scholarly study behind it, indicating that this is probably true, that humans were genetically engineered originally. At least one of the root races was genetically engineered by a group of descended Elohim who had gotten stuck in this realm for billions of years and called themselves the Anunnaki. And we've talked about how the negative, how when you get into this realm, because of possessions, because of power, it's very easy to lose your sense of the law of one. Because in this realm, it's either yours or mine. It's either I control the energy or you do. And so people compete. When I say me and you, I don't mean me and you, I mean one, okay? Because on these calls, this is exactly what we're learning to go above. But And so often, and because survival is such a, how would we say it? Survival is such a preeminent preoccupation. It has to be. It's not wrong. It's that the negative controls you through survival. And they keep you in your lower chakras. Because as long as you're worried about survival, it's very hard to move into your heart to the higher chakras. And so there's a great advantage to having an economic disaster from the negative point of view, because that fulfills their desire to keep us enslaved. There's a great desire to keep you in fear, because if you're in fear, as Carlin said, you have to choose fear or love. It's not so easy to choose love when you're in survival. And this is where each of us has to become masters and discipline so that we can be in both places at the same time. So when we hear of negative agendas and secret societies and all of that stuff, we have really a machine that's designed to keep us in our lower chakras. And why do they want to do that? Because there's probably a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is because they feed off of our energy. And that if we get one of the things from the raw material was that when you have a loving space, I'll have Carla correct me on this. When you have a loving space around you, the negative can't get through it. It bounces off. So when you finally build your energy up to where you can hold that space, the negative loses its control over you, its ability to control you, its ability to create fear. And this, you have even overcome the fear of death, and in which case, what do they have to hold over you? But, Carla, did I get that right? You want to clarify that one?
That's close enough. Go right ahead.
That's close enough, yeah. So, you know, there's a field that you create where the negative can't get through. And then you are free from the encumbrances of this realm. Otherwise, as most of you have experienced, this realm is filled with traps, hooks, ways to get you sucked in, and in ways that once you're sucked in, you can't get out of. Now, as I have been studying this Anunnaki episode on the creation of humans, there was kind of a division between two points of view. These two brothers, Enki and Enlil, where Enlil wanted to control everything or kill all the humans, and Enki wanted to evolve them. Now, one thing about the universe is that nothing is destroyed. Everything exists, and it continues to exist in whatever form it is, which could be a soul on the other side, could be a soul stuck in the astral, it could be you and I, but we don't go away. We continue, but our bodies go away. And the on the Enki side of the evolutionary scale, it seems to me there's a little bit from Enki of also turning the world into a playground, and you know, having, well, one of the ways of raising DNA is through intimacy, and intimacy is, again, you still have to learn in intimacy how to hold it yourself, because otherwise, if the person leaves you, if the person dies, what you learn through intimacy is through the person. Each person has their expansion into a hologram, and in the best relationships, you have two people that have different expansions into different areas of the universe hologram. And when they come together and they have intimacy, their energies become one, and so they both have access to the energies of the other. And when there's a lot of cooperation going on, that creates a lot of power. It creates a lot of joy. It creates fulfillment. And it activates the DNA. And as you're involved in this relationship, you are learning how to expand into this new holographic area that you were not formally connected with. And after a while, you have incorporated it. So the person is not quite as important as they were to keeping you in balance. That doesn't mean you have to separate. It means that the relationship gets better, because when you're desperately clinging to another person's energy to keep yourself in balance, the word for that is codependent. And usually, each person's sense of independence and wanting to be free will be partially, partially fighting against that, fighting against the codependency aspect, because no one wants to be dependent on another person. I won't say no one wants to. Some people do want to. But nonetheless, ultimately, the codependency has to grow into co-creation, in which case this unit, this couple, suddenly is empowered, and they can create things at a very high level because they're not codependent. And the codependency aspect of it is always fear. And fear is that if the person leaves me, I will be devastated. I won't be able to continue, because that person is making me feel good. And so the fear oftentimes will create what it's afraid of, if the people separate. So what we're doing is we're in a school, and the school is learning how to expand our hologram and being involved in situations, people, groups, whatever, that stimulate our energies so that we learn about things that we don't have inside us or outside us. We haven't had that piece of the puzzle. And then we come together and we intermingle energies. And then we learn from other people's energies. We learn new ways of not even understanding. This is not mental. This is, you know, again, community, intimacy, and of course, even co-create, even even with the higher realms, moving from codependency to co-creativity. What is it like to be codependent on the higher realms? It means I am nothing, God is everything. It means doing God's will. It means that there's some intelligence up there that you have to please. And you know what? That's not co-creation. That's like fear of doing something wrong. You know, there were gods in the Old Testament that we talked about that were not the highest gods, but lower gods that thrived on that particular aspect of their relationship with people, because they could keep you in fear, they could keep you dependent, and you would give them their energy, your energy. And the problem with that kind of relationship, the problem with that, when it's not co-creative, but it's codependent, is that despite everyone's best intent to try to make a codependent relationship work, it's a closed loop, and the energy doesn't sustain. So it creates then anger. Why is that person not giving me what I want? They used to make me feel good. Now they don't. They're denying me. And you think they're denying you because they can choose it. The fact of the matter is they can't choose it because the energy left. This is why that famous thing by, I forget the name, the guy who wrote The Little Prince said, a relationship is not just looking at each other, it's looking in the same direction. Looking in the same direction moves something from codependency to co-creation. When you're in codependency, what happens is you are giving energy to each other that is going to die. The energy is not going to sustain. And then oftentimes people think the person's denying them. There must be somebody better out there. They go looking for somebody better. And again, in the beginning stage of a relationship, because there's no rules, the energy is really high, and people could have a very high interchange. But usually within 6 months, a year, after that runs down, they're back in codependency. Or they're back in no energy, where they just have a formal kind of relationship, working things out, like, you know, out of security. The guy works, the woman brings up the kids. Now, bringing up children is a common purpose. But yeah, the whole point of all this is, how do you move into the situations where you can have the highest DNA activation? And it creates finding circumstances where you're in co-creative, loving connection. Now, I know on this call, I know that there's energies coming in on this call that, for those of you that are taking within, are helping to activate your DNA. This is a community, and this is a grouping of energies where we are all sharing energies in a free way. There's no control systems here. And that's why we can keep coming into these calls, and the energy keeps coming present, because each call starts with chaos. It doesn't start with any control mechanism. If you hear me at the beginning of the call, I'm saying to myself, maybe I won't think of anything to talk about today. You know, there's no planning. Usually there's no planning and it's seat of the pants. But you know what? The energy comes in all the time. And you're part of that energy. You're part of the creation of that energy. We're part of healing each other. And doing calls like this was my way of solving this impossible situation of having to travel everywhere and then leave. And usually people can't sustain the energies. So this is everyone who's participating an ongoing opportunity to sit in these energies. But there's still the need to create it in out of your own creation. Okay, this is, I may be creating this. We're all creating it, but I'm creating the venue, okay? And we're all creating the energy. And ultimately, what's your venue? It's got to be totally unique to you. It has to be authentic. You don't have to do this in this way, but you do have to look for ways to get that energy into your life on a regular basis so that you can activate your DNA. And in particular, there is a distinct connection between DNA activation and graduating this realm, as I see it. Because if we look at the raw material says 51% dedication to service is what gets you out of this realm. In some of our material, it said having your heart chakra open slightly more than half, or 51%, gets you out of this realm. Well, when you're dedicated to service, you have to, your heart chakra has to open. And that is why service works. It's a one way of looking at it, the other. It's service and keeping your heart chakra open are two sides of the same coin. And each of us has our own personal challenge on an ongoing basis. Now, I was talking about the Anunnaki, and this is, now we talk about the Anunnaki, and we realize that that was the most recent indication intervention with them was like 15,000 years ago. And we think, well, that was then and this is now. Except it's not then and now. But then we start looking at your history and say, how did these guys manifest? What did they do throughout history? How did it work? Did they reincarnate as humans? Were they working on the other side? Because we learned, in what I think, we asked this question on last Wednesday, that in the creation of humans, there was a certain karma that they took on, and that was to evolve humans. And if you look at the two sides, one side, the negative side, was kind of not on an evolutionary path. It was trying to freeze a circumstance so they could always be on top. And that means they're enslaved by the people they enslaved. They're enslaved by the people they enslaved. Because it takes work to keep slaves. If you want to become free, you have to move from slavery into co-creation. Co-creation, you don't have to work to keep someone hooked. In slavery, you got to keep someone looked over many lifetimes. So there's the one group that just is locking themselves in into this enslaved reflection back and forth between those that they enslaved and themselves who are being enslaved. Of course, they're wanting to be enslaved, but it's a high level of enslavement. It doesn't look like they're enslaved. It looks like they're bossing everything around and they're in control. But from my way of looking at it, they're enslaved. Then you have the group that wanted to evolve you, that wanted to move through this, and that took on a certain karmic responsibility for the evolution of humans. And that throughout history, and this is stuff I can't validate, but as I was looking through all the materials, it makes sense. There was Enki and there was Inanna. And Enki changed his name to Ptah, or his name changed, or actually, Ptah was part of his energy. It's connected with the word Ptah, and that Ptah was in Egypt and working with people as a priest, and and then another time, Enki ended up in India and became responsible for yoga. Of course, yoga, what does yoga have? It has a way of evolving your DNA. It's a way of meeting in groups. It's a way of moving energy, moving kundalini. And then Inanna became the goddess of the divine feminine and ended up in different places creating tantric yoga using sexual interchange as a way of helping to expand DNA evolution in people. And of course, many, many churches and religions have great prohibitions against sex. And now this is not a call to have sex, wild sex, how would I say it, in a unbridled way. But sex evolves, loving sex evolves your DNA fast. And one of the reasons there's prohibitions to sex, one of the reasons is that it's such a difficult thing and people get in trouble there, they go into betrayal, they do all kinds of things that do just the opposite of what it could do. But the other reason is because when people have shut down their second chakra, usually the third chakra is shut down as well to a certain degree, and that means they're easy to control, and they become followers. They're not self-empowered, and so organizations that want followers and want donations create circumstances where people feel guilty about opening those energies up. And on that note, it's 11 a.m., and I think I'm going to just see if Carla has anything she wants to share. Carla and Terry have anything they'd like to share on this whole thing that I just talked about, and we'll start our visualization. Carla?
I guess the only thing that I have to share is that I've been on about homecoming, and I'm very high on it, and we make sure we have it every year. And the reason is that it lifts everybody. Everybody helps everybody to get lifted up. And everyone mm-hmm. can experience for themselves what it's like to be in that higher vibration and can get the feeling of what it's like and knows what it feels like. And once you have a taste for it, you don't really want to go back. And if you can remember it well enough, you can go back there all by yourself, just by remembering. So hopefully that's what we give people the homecoming is that environment for growth, that hotbed for spiritual growth that is such a precious thing.
So in the context of what we're talking about...
In the context of what we're talking about, we're activating DNA.
You're activating DNA, even though you don't use that vocabulary.
Right.
But, you know, activating DNA is fun and loving and empowering, you know. And it's not something to go around. If you see someone that's selling DNA activations, look really carefully, because they give this illusion that you can see them one time and everything shifts. Now, maybe it will. I don't know. If you find that person, let me know, because I'd like to find them too. But in general, it's an easy way to create a momentary experience, charge you a lot of money, and then they don't care anymore after they have your money. That's one of the ways to tell somebody who is truly working from the higher realms, is that they're not just there for you because you pay them. They're there. You feel their presence. They're with you. You don't feel like an object that when you pay them, you get to use their services. Not that you shouldn't pay somebody. It's okay to pay somebody. And in fact, by the way, we need money right now. So if anyone wants to click the donate button on the email today, feel free to do it. But make it a free will choice to support that which is supporting you. We've chosen to support you, and we're doing it. And when you make a donation, you're making the choice to support us back. And not only is it supporting us back, but it's enhancing the synergy of the relationship, building the synergy of it from your point of view. So it all becomes co-creative. And Terry is our silent anchor in the back.
Hello.
Are you there, Terry? Did you miss out on wanting to say anything here?
Well, I was just thinking about the relationship, but I was trying to get a definition of DNA and like what it indicates on the internet. In one of the main sites, is that DNA is found inside the area of the cell called the nucleus. It's very small, and it is packaged. This DNA is packaged together. It has different organisms. Many DNA molecules, and it's packaged inside the cell in something that's called a chromosome, and then gives instructions to make proteins, and these proteins turn out to be genes, and they give instructions to the body, like how to build the body and whether it's to have blue eyes or brown eyes and whether it's to be an elephant or whether it's to be a human. So that's sort of how it all ties together with the DNA. And if you have a preconceived idea about yourself, say that you are not worthy, you're bathing the whole genome, the whole DNA of all of your cells in that feeling, in that belief, and that it's inhibiting the interactions within the cells, and it's giving a mixed signal to the instructions. I should exist, and I should go forward, and I should be all that I can be. And then comes the idea that you're not worthy, and then it's inhibiting the instructions to the TNA and to the body functions, and it's inhibiting the grease that makes the body flow and work together and harmonious, and it's a limiting factor. So activation would be enabling the body to go forward with the maximum amount and top instructions that the body can utilize to be the best one can be, and to be who one really is, because they're working together with the DNA in the whole body. That's my comment.
Well, thank you. And a lot of this unworthiness is actually programmed into this realm by the negative, because if they keep people feeling unworthy, they keep you from activating your DNA. And the biggest fear of the negative, in my opinion, and they didn't tell me this, but their biggest fear, I read this, is that humans will activate their DNA to much greater potentials, and that then they become equal and superior to the negative. That we have those potentials, and that no external force can do this for you. When you hear things like the whole planet's on a ship and everyone's going to upgrade, I personally think that the wording should be everyone has the opportunity to upgrade, not that everyone's going to be upgraded, because if everyone was upgraded, that would violate people's free will. It would be, they were not, it was happening to them. It was not, they were not part of it. And each of you is an intrinsic part of your own evolution by your choices, by your actions, by your increases in wisdoms and understandings of how things work. And so
one thing that I've noticed is in doing readings for people, some of the people with the highest intuitive skills, the most psychic, the most brilliant, the most connected, are under actual negative attack that knocks them back down, so that even though they're totally brilliant and amazing people, that they don't have the fire. I mean, they have a resistance to being all they can be because of the negative attack keeps knocking them back. And
Carla's the best example, I think. When she was doing the raw material, they did everything they could to make her not want to do it. Am I right, Carla?
Well, sort of hitting you over the head with a 2x4, yes, you're definitely right.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where she almost died, because that kind of material and the kind of material we're doing is giving people the keys to the whole process. And it's taking the power away from those external forces that want to give you the keys. Think that they want to control you so that you give your energy back to them now that you're in slavery. So each of us has the wherewithal, tapping into the passion, the intent, and that creates the thrust to overcome this. Because as you start going on this path, almost invariably, you will get increased negative attacks trying to back you down. And this is the best way to look at that, because I have to go through this for sure. The best way to look at that is realizing those negative attacks are obstacles. Sometimes they're just obstacles, like no one loves me. Everyone, all the doors are being shut, you know. However, it looks, those obstacles are actually your barbells are getting more weight on them, so you can be stronger. It's an initiation to get strong enough to go through that. It's an initiation to get strong enough to go through that, because when you master it, it stops. It doesn't continue. And you have the power in you to master it. You have the power to go through it. And you have to desire it with all your heart and soul. And you know, it's like that famous movie about the television guy, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. So you have to be prepared for that. Now, not everyone has that. Some people come in from really, really angelic realms, and they don't have that. But usually, those people, usually, they're not able to go out and be the highest warriors in this realm, because they need everything purified, and they need they create lives where they don't have to deal with it. They go into monasteries. They go into ashrams. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a way of holding group energy that keeps one out of negative valences in many cases, unless the ashram is under the negative valence or whatever, which is certainly possible. But in any case, let's move on.
Can I say one thing here?
Yes.
One of the things with me is I have worked really hard on myself to find any sources of negativity and to get to the basic cause of it, the basic source of it. And I have gotten to the source of a lot of different avenues where negativity can come in. It's from surroundings, from the different people, maybe jealous, or actual physical beings, or it's from programming that I've had in this life or last life or many, many lives ago, where actual programming has been done on people in general to knock them down, so that when they think I'm great, then all of a sudden they think I'm not great. And to bring the opposite in, and maybe the thought was to keep them balanced in the middle of everything, but it tends to make a yo-yo where it's like they think of one a good aspect and then immediately think of a bad aspect, like I can't, I might, I should, I won't. and the mind gets going in circuitries, but it's been trained that way, and a person can, if they start to notice that, can let it go on by and eventually deprogram themselves. So there's stuff coming perhaps from outside, or stuff coming from negative programming, from the past, but yet there's another source of negativity that can come in right in present time. And that can be from electronic current in real time programming aimed to the individual when it's realized by a group that these people have special qualities and that they are going to take a whole section of society with them and make that whole section of the society more aware. And then electronic devices are aimed at them, unknown to them, to confuse them and to make them more unaware. So every case is different and has its own thing, but there's some general categories like this that I've noticed.
They can even program thoughts in the ethers, right?
Yes. They you can know. Program people, like the project, I think it's called Bluebeam, Project Bluebeam.
Yeah.
I did some investigation just to see, you know, to try and tune into it to see what was going on. And I got those green image pictures. And then I didn't even know what it was. And then I went on the internet and I checked. And he had some of those pictures like I'd been seeing when I was investigating it. And that they can aim at people. And they can probably even get a person's electronic signature and take a picture of it and put it in the data bank. That they can then search through the data bank and compare and locate the individual by the electronic signature.
So it's pretty, this whole negative overlay is very sophisticated. In fact, at one point, we were, you know, I was looking up all kinds of people with channel and trying to figure out what's going on about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, trying to learn about what people are saying and where it's coming from. And there's people all over our planet that are getting channeled messages about a fleet of spaceships that's standing in space waiting to save humanity. Millions of spaceships are Space Brothers, they're called. And they came under the name Ashtar Command. And when I did a session on it with Terry, you know, of course, you can't, you know, we could be wrong and they could be right. Well, I'm not going to say, you know, when it comes to asking a question that you can't validate, doesn't mean we're right. But the answer that came through was there was this giant organic computer somewhere out there that was able to interface with the psyches of certain humans and transmit messages to them, and that Ashtar Command was a whole thing that was based on these projected messages from this organic computer, okay? And I know particularly in certain churches that people are getting channeled messages from the negative. So it's very tricky about giving up your power to anything outside of yourself and thinking, I'm going to follow that. And, you know, I endeavor in our calls and on these things we do to always have it a co-creative energy. And there's really nothing to follow. It's just there's some wisdom here and there's some new understandings and things that you can incorporate because the goal is for you to empower yourself and have the tools and the keys to do that. And I say, just got some emails. Hello to CJ Hill in England. Hello to Ben Townsend, who sent me an email that said, he lived in Berkeley when I lived in Berkeley. Hi, Ben. Maybe we met on Telegraph Avenue, if you're listening. And let's go into this connection with the greater universe. And let's think about our DNA as we do it. Think about this energy flowing through you on a cellular level, on a micro level. You see the energy of the Earth. Everything in the universe is one energy. And in the highest truth, we are never separated from that energy. We are never separated from all that is. We are never separated from each other. And separation is an illusion that we experience in order to have a body. And everything that exists has an energy field attached to it. Everything, everything in the universe, from a rock to a cat to you, to the earth. And the physical manifestation is always discrete. It is separate. It's an illusion of separateness, because just on top of the physical manifestation are the energies. And the energies do not have to be separate. They can connect. And the key is to be living in a discrete body and to be able to tune into the energies of connection. So we see the energy of the earth coming up through the floor and into our feet. Our feet are flat on the ground or the bed or wherever, parallel to the earth. We just see the rays of energy coming up into our feet from the earth. And we know the earth is there, and the earth knows we know. So we can say hello to the earth. We can say, I love you, earth. And you notice when you say, I love you, Earth, there's a little boost of energy. And we move that energy up through our legs, through our calves, through our thighs, through our genitals, through our solar plexus, through our chest, through our neck, and into the top of our head. And notice how that feels. And we move through the top of our head into the space above our head. Up to the ceiling. Through the ceiling and through the roof. And if there's any rooms above you, then move right through those rooms and up through the roof into the sky. And we are directing our energy. We are moving our energy through space and through time. We're moving it through all of our past lives. We're resetting ourselves. And we come to the place where we are connected. Each of us has a track through time. And as we go back on that track, we find the place where we first separated our energies from all that is and became individuated. And we are innocent there. But we have no experience. As we all move to that space, we can affiliate with each other in our innocence. We can touch each other. We can blend our energies. We can connect. We can experience family. And we can invite our sources. They're not really our sources. I call them our sources. We can invite those higher aspects of ourselves, all those energies that we call the Ra group, the Elohim group. You know, keep in mind that everything I'm saying for us is also true for them. At one point, they were not individuated. At one point, they became individuated. In the Ra group, they went through a series of lifetimes in this realm. In the Elohim group, they didn't. Or the ones that did were no longer part of that group in that way, but they had an affiliation. But as we move into that moment of individuation, there's kind of an equality that occurs amongst us all. So we invite them to join that moment of first cause, of first individuation. And we are becoming one. We are one with all that is. And you can feel that tinkling in your body. You can feel that sense of connection. And if we apply what I said earlier, you could assume that right now you're in a state of DNA activation. And we can move that energy back down. We can go from that place of oneness into that, through all the realms, through all the timelines, through all the past lives. And as it moves through, it is a pure energy. And as a group, let us see our energy fields being healed. The Elohim has talked about a very high group of Elohim called grace. And we're asking for grace to be part of this group now, because grace is at the first point of creation. And we want to move that energy of grace through our track, through our past lives. And grease it all. Create a flow, a healing of the traumas, the anguishes, the hurts that have been imposed on us, to create that forgiveness for the things that we have done that has created judgment on ourselves. And we move through that entire track right back to your present physical embodiment. We bring the energy in through the top of your head. It's come through your roof, through your ceiling, and we're going to move it slowly through our body. And as it moves through, free up any lost energy, any pain, any hurt. And as we move this energy through us, we can imagine our DNA, our chakras, are unfolding, opening, and move it where you feel blocked. Most of us have blocks on our heart chakra. Move it focused right in your chest. The heart chakra. And let go of anything you're holding in your heart that is contracting your heart. Let go of the people in your memory bank that have hurt you. Bring in the quality of forgiveness. Let go of the judgments of yourself. The things you've done. To hurt others. you know, in Christianity, they have this idea of being reborn in Christ. When you experience this moment as being the first moment of creation, there is no past. You're creating the future from this place. I believe that's what it means to be reborn in Christ. It means forgiven for your sins, means letting this energy of spirit move you back to your innocence and releasing all those traumas, all those hurts, all those things we've done to hurt other people that are in our track. And right now, let them go. And let the most purest spirit of love move through you. Let's go through while we're in this space using our group energy. Remember, our group energy is very big because we're including Elohim group, we're including Ra group, we're including all of us. We're including all those angelic forces that are positive, service to others, that would choose to be in this energetic space with us right now. And we know you're there. Thank you. And we have Debbie in South Bloomingdale, New York, who sends healing, love, and protection to all of the beings on the planet, especially our brothers and sisters in the ocean. And this especially includes the dolphins and the whales who are being affected, that was me, who are being affected by the changes that are taking place on the planet at this time. And Diane also says, continues healing, love, and protection to her daughter, Possum. And then we have here Pat in Birmingham, keeping her older daughter in the light. And ease the physical pain her mother is experiencing during her transition. Let's just send this light energy around Diane's mother. And she puts the wisdom of wind in the light. And then we have Lisa in Washington. Like assistance in finding appropriate work and financial support, healing for her mother and her sister, as well as healing for the planet. Thank you, and wishing many blessings for all. And Lisa, remember, when you're out looking, somebody's looking for you. And keep going until you find that person, or that group, or that job. Marsha Levine in Panorama City. Is under attacks from her neighbors. Somebody slashed her tires. Let's just send healing light to Marsha's house. Surrounds her house with this light and protection. And somebody is sending light to everything concerned with the Colorado flooding. People, animals, livestock, plants, trees, rocks, etc. And Zoe in Sacramento. Please heal my cracked tooth. By the way, if you ever have a toothache, this is Wynn giving a side comment. A really good way to immediately stop your toothache is start chewing ginger on the, you know, the tooth that's aching. Some of the ginger juice kills the germs and makes it go away. Terry and I have both used that. I'm sending the light to Bob Gibson's girls, whose mother has passed over. And love and light to take charge of the publishing and distribution of the writing I am publishing online for the highest good of all concerned. And that's Zoe. And then Lise in Rimrock. Protection and healing for the entire world for damage that has already been done from chemtrails and electromagnetic energies used to do weather modification. And Lise in Rimrock. Protection and healing for herself and her daughter from electromagnetic and other energies being used to do weather modification. It's been a difficult couple of weeks. Let's just send light around this. We have one more here. We have Michael in Chicago, and healing for Joseph Brzezinski from Chicago for his drug addiction. Rick in Iowa City. His brother, Mike, has severe bone cancer and lots of pain. Put him in life for healing, comfort, and answers. Thank you. Okay. We're just going to get a message from our sources to Terry. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, everyone listening to these calls, for the highest good of all concerned. To see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator this 50th of September, 2013. And we take a moment and we adjust to the frequencies of the third density. We are a group soul Ra'on. We are the Elohim, an aspect of the Elohim, connected with an aspect of the Ra group, and we are also connected with the aspect of the Elohim race today. And we, by virtue of the fact of us being a group soul, are able to hold the energies of the manifest world and to move as a group within the manifest world and to remote view, to travel to the aspects of the earth plane in which you have put into the light and are able to move, to touch, to be with each and every person who wishes connection. And we provide a source of support, an energetic support that you can triangulate with. If, for instance, you have on your team ship call more than one person, then it makes it easy to triangulate with us. When there are two that are gathered and would triangulate with us, then you can hold the support that we offer. And we do not interfere. We do not interact unless it is you yourself that desire it. So do not be afraid to ask when it is that you desire something as the ones that have put your names on the healing list today. And we include in that everyone who was asked silently, who secretly, without even knowing they have asked, are asking, are desiring. For desire is at the basis of asking. It is creation of an energy, of a magnetic light that lets the universe know to bring what it is that is needed for the sustenance, for the support. And it is important that you yourself know your worth, because in knowing your worth, you can open your own self to give and to receive. If you feel that you are not worthy of support or receiving, then you will block the entrance of that support to you, and your whole system is a composite, multiple cells that all get the signal and all act in harmony, in unison. So when you know that you are a worthy, good person, it opens up the ability for you to open up and activate your chakras and to give and receive. And it is through connection that you can grow. It is through getting out of your own box that you can know that you are a part of all, a part of whatever it is you desire to move into it, to be a part of. We are cognizant of the things individuals have put in the light, and we send love light for strength to Marsha and to Jim. And we send love light to Possum. and we hear the call from Fremont, California, of the humming sounds coming from above and getting louder. Are they real? These sounds are low frequency waves that are real and are at a frequency that the human being is operating at, and therefore they can disturb sleep and can get on your wavelength and hijack your consciousness as you ride on their wave of the low frequency hum. When an individual lives in an area that has a solid foundation, for instance, a stone base, this can amplify the hum. We suggest seeing if when you may travel to a different area, a different geological formation, if the hum becomes less. It is a man-made hum that is part of a low-frequency system of communication that is part of the system submarines. Communication and other communication operates on. So it is real. And play with it a bit and see if there are other areas if you stay overnight. If you do not hear that hum so loudly, we take a look at the other things people have looked and put into the light. And we send opportunity to those looking for a job. We see that there is opportunity, there is something specifically for you that you can do and feel good about. And then we'll feel good about the financing that you are bringing in. We send this for money and resources to Susan. We thank you for this opportunity to be with you. And we love you. It is a sacred moment, and we are honored to be in contact with each and every one of you. Thank you.
I have a quick question. The question is, as a person anchors their frequencies in the higher realms, as a person activates their DNA strands, do they become more immune to these external frequencies that are attempting to impact their consciousness?
It is where a person is focusing. If a person focuses on the hum, for instance, then they bring their whole body range into the frequency of the hum, and it is harder to move out of it. If they change their attention and their focus to another area, they can perhaps have the hum move into the distance within their own psyche, so that it is no longer affecting them, the more aggravated by something one is, the more their attention and all of their focus goes to it, and the more it aggravates them.
Thank you. You know what? We have taken a long time, and next week, I promise, I am going to focus. I'm going to cut my talk to a half an hour and focus on the activation part of this call. And we very quickly hold our group energy together. We become co-creators with the universe, and we surround our planet with this energy. We are the gateways. We are the links surrounding our planet and impacting, moving down through the planetary fields and impacting everything on this planet that is reaching for spirit. We ask for protection from earthquakes, from negative influences. We ask for awareness for the populations. We ask for the quality of discernment for ourselves. We ask for the ability to hope no matter what happens around us. We ask for the courage to stand up against all of those things that would pull us down. We ask for the blessings of spirit, the highest realms, for our homes, for our health, for our families, for those people that care about us, and those people that we care about.